This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
As we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we are in NFL mode because the schedule is released tonight. So we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circa app today. That is where we find our friend on Wednesdays who pushes back his lunch for us. It is Mike Florio, the editor-in-chief and creator of Pro Football Talk. It is at Pro Football Talk on X. And he joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hey, Mike.
You know, if I would just move to Chicago, it wouldn't be lunchtime. And I could just do it at 11. And I had never thought of that.
We got room for you, man.
I love Chicago.
Yeah, well, come on down.
We'd love to have you in studio. Yeah.
This is the best time of year, too.
Oh, it's
Did
nice
you hear
outside.
The Pope is from Chicago?
You know what's funny, Mike, is that that news broke on this very show. So we actually got the first crack at the Pope and all the jokes. So we were first with the jokes, original jokes, Mike.
And there were many.
Yes.
There were many.
Yes.
And it just, I never would have expected it. I grew up Catholic, 12 years of Catholic school. And the one thing, I don't think it was ever stated, but it was just kind of a given. There's no way in hell, I guess pun intended, that the Pope would ever come from the United States. So
yeah,
everything's possible.
Yeah, we're all in a collective state of shock and still making jokes. So that is almost a state of permanence, I feel like, for all of us. But it was a fun day, and it's been a fun time for sure. This is finally the day where the rest of the NFL schedule release happens. I feel like they've diluted their own holiday a little bit by all these leaks. Out of the games that have come out so far, what has stood out to you as maybe one that's intrigued you the most?
Without question, it's the Thanksgiving game that the Cowboys host, because that is the ultimate captive audience. You think about the time of day the game starts, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. In most households, in most time zones, the food has been eaten. The awkward conversations have reached a point of impasse. There's really nothing to do other than turn on the TV and gather in the room to watch the Cowboys game. And the NFL has two choices every year when scheduling that game. One, it can go with a game that really isn't much of a big deal. It would be tucked into the 1 o'clock Eastern windows on any other Sunday, and it would still generate a massive audience, as last year's game between a pair of backup quarterbacks for two non-playoff teams, the Giants and the Cowboys, proved. They still did $38.5 million on average for the full broadcast. That's one path. The other path is to take a game that otherwise would land in a big spot. Chiefs-Cowboys would be a significant game whenever it's played. It would prop up a Sunday night, a Thursday night, a Monday night, a Saturday afternoon, whatever the case may be. They picked that game, arguably the most attractive game of the entire schedule when you consider that the Chiefs are currently the top draw in the NFL and the Cowboys somehow have managed to still be America's team without playing in the NFC Championship for 30 years. You put that game in that window and the all-time regular season viewership record isn't just going to be broken, it's going to be shattered. Right now, 42.1 million is the record from Thanksgiving of 2022. This is going to be 45 million plus. This is going to be the biggest the NFL has ever seen. So their willingness to take a game that would have done extremely well anywhere else and dump it into Thanksgiving, they are going for maybe 50 million. You know, there's a new way to track out-of-home viewing. They can get to 50 million for this game.
It feels like they're really pulling the hard flex, not a soft flex, by doing this, because they're really trying to let you know where the NFL is compared to all other, not just sporting events, but just live entertainment in general. And I kind of like it because it's a great barometer. My question is this, Mike, we've got a lot of leaks out there right now. Which of the windows that have not been announced are you most intrigued by seeing who lands there?
Well, I always want to see the Sunday night schedule because I work for NBC. And I want to get a glimpse of what kind of games are we getting. There are games every year that the networks clamor for. There's a lot of politicking that happens as it relates to the networks in the league office, the teams in the league office. So I'm always very interested in Sunday night football. Beyond Sunday night football, it's the other big spots. You know, I only get to watch Sunday night and Thursday night closely and focused. So the Thursday night schedule is always personally interesting to me, what games are going to be available. And the other thing that is just kind of hanging over all of this, how did the league resolve the uncertain status of Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers? It dawned on me a couple of weeks ago that at this point, he's just wait and see what happens with the schedule before announcing his decision. I think he's going to play for the Steelers. I think there's enough out there to come to that conclusion. But if you're the league, you're taking a hell of a risk. If you load up the early half of the schedule, like they did last year with Jets, Aaron Rodgers games, you know, they had two Sunday, Thursday turnarounds in the first half of the season. They had most of their games in standalone windows. And I know teams will say, we'll play them anywhere, anytime. Teams want to have a rhythm. They want to have a flow. They want to have full opportunity to rest between games. And at one point I thought, if you're Rodgers, just wait. Wait to make the decision, because otherwise the NFL is assuming the risk that we're going to have a lot of Mason Rudolph in some key windows early in the season. So that Steelers schedule for the first half of the season, because we know the second half can be flexed anywhere and everywhere they want. For the first half of the season, how many primetime Steelers games will there be? How many Thursday games will there be? How many big spot games will there be? Have they bet on Rodgers showing up? Have they bet on the possibility that it's going to blow up in their faces and it's going to be Mason Rudolph backed up by Skylar Thompson and whichever other veteran they can add to the roster before week one?
Sounds just awful.
Skylar Thompson.
That's not it? That's not the move? Skylar Thompson?
No, that's not it. Mike, we know that the Bears are going to play the Eagles on Black Friday. You know, as a with Bears fan in me, I do get territorial and self-conscious about the world seeing the Bears. Like we did. And I know they didn't go out of control last year with the nationally televised games for the Bears, but they're just like, I don't need the world to see it. How much Bearsness are we going to see on the even on Sunday Night Football this year with Ben Johnson, a different roster, and Caleb Williams in year two?
I think the key for the Bears is the fact that for the Black Friday game, it's not a division game, because there's a certain degree of security in picking a division rivalry for a big spot game, because, you know, typically those games have built in spice and drama and the teams know each other well, so the talent gap can be narrowed. By picking the Bears for a game against the best team in the NFL, that's an indication from the league that they think the Bears are going to be pretty good this year, and there's going to be more Bears games. Look, the Bears are going to be interesting with Caleb Williams, with Ben Johnson, with the changes that have been made. It feels like this is the year that there's an extra amount of sizzle that will be inherent to the Bears game. So if it had been Bears-Packers on Black Friday, I wouldn't feel as strongly about it. The fact that it's Bears-Eagles, it tells me there's going to be a lot of Bears games in those primetime standalone windows.
After a 10-game losing streak last year, we'll take all the sizzle we can get around here. Uh-huh. That's the voice of Mike Florio from
if
Pro
Football. If nothing else,
Talk.
Maybe the Pope will show up.
That's true.
We keep hoping.
I think it would
games.
Have to be an international European game for that to happen.
Crosstown is happening. Sox and Cubs on Friday. That
the
was the
Pope
first
Mobile
show.
Knows no boundaries.
Hey, and Nor- that's fair. Hey, and we haven't even gone through the Bears 2 schedule yet, so that's a whole other thing.
Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. I just wanted to ask you about this Trey Hendrickson thing, because it seems like we are at an impasse where a player is saying, I'm not coming until I have a new contract. Is it your belief that he will figure things out with the Bengals after they've already signed those huge deals with the top two receivers on the team? Or do you think he is ripe for a move somewhere? And are there ideas of where that he could go?
I think right now Trey Hendrickson, unless he blinks, is on track to be this year's Hassan Reddick, who holds out, loses money, misses games, and ultimately proved nothing when he shows up at some point during the regular season. And the counter to that would be, well, the Bengals need him. The Bengals need his productivity. The Bengals need his presence. The Bengals don't care about things like that. The Bengals care about making money. That's number one. Winning games is number two, and it might be a distant number two. So if he wants to stay away, fine. They'll take his money in the daily fines that are non-waivable. They'll keep his game checks that otherwise would have gone into his pockets. Mike Brown isn't going to blink. They told Carson Palmer in 2011 when he was done with him, fine, stay home. We don't care. And he still would have been a Bengal for the rest of the season if Jason Campbell hadn't broken a collarbone for the Raiders 2 days before the trade deadline, and the Raiders made the Bengals an offer they couldn't refuse in trade. And they made out like bandits in that deal because Palmer was never playing for them again, and they were fine to just let him go home and keep his money. So this is a miscalculation, and I think Hendrickson's public comments, he had a statement he issued on Monday, and he went off yesterday. We never see a player go off with a microphone in his face the way that Hendrickson did and call out his coach. This, to me, I think is an indication that Hendrickson knows he is backed into a corner. The Bengals don't care. And by him mentioning the possibility of being fined for missing the mandatory minicamp, that tells me he's thinking about the money he's going to lose. And at the end of the day, he's going to try everything he can. And when it's time to show up, I think he's going to show up because he otherwise would be the Hassan Reddick for this year. I think that someone close to Hendrickson is going to say, we're not giving up all that money. We're not sacrificing game checks. And this uprising from Monday and Tuesday, I think, is his last-ditch effort to try to get their attention. And I don't think it's going to work.
This segment with Mike is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But as a brief follow-up to that, we saw how that went with Roquan Smith. Now, Roquan did not have an agent at the time. He ends up requesting a trade, ends up getting one. He's in a better place for him, that's for sure, in Baltimore. Got the money he wanted and flourished in that system. How do you see this arc playing out for Hendrickson? Do you think a trade request would be like a possibility in this whole discussion?
Oh, I'm sure it's already been mentioned. And they gave him permission to seek a trade. And the problem was, and I think the Bengals expected this, when he started talking to other teams, no one was offering him the kind of money that he wants. The problem is he's 30. Now, he's had great production in sacks the last 2 years, but that doesn't matter looking forward. Nobody ever gets paid for what they've already done. And when Max Crosby got his big contract that made him, for a brief period of time, the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, north of $35 million per year, that was when Hendrickson got his permission to shop himself in trade. And I think the Bengals, I've heard that they're around $28 million per year in new money average, which on the surface isn't horrible, but it's far short of the top of the market. And the problem is there's no one out there that was willing to pay him what he wanted and trade for him. So it forces him into this spot where he's just got to deal with the Bengals. And the Bengals aren't willing, they aren't compelled to give him what he wants. So I think a trade is unlikely because we've already gone down that path. I think he's stuck. And the question is, how much money does he want to lose as he tries to get more money? And the problem is the Bengals will put their football interests behind their money interests. He is stuck. He's got to show up and play out this contract, become a free agent next year, because the Bengals will otherwise squat on his rights forever.
We do have one schedule leak that's happened during our conversation. JP Finley of NBC Sports in Washington reporting Bears at Commanders in Week 6.
Week 6.
So,
okay.
So that is a leak that has just come out. That per JP Finley, he of previously Comcast Sportsnet in Washington.
Inconspicuous, and, right? Week 6. Is now, that prime timer?
Is that a 1 o'clock game? Is it a 4:25? Is it a night game?
Yeah,
or is
that's my next question, but I'm not seeing anything else yet.
I thought they were gonna put that on Christmas Day. The Bears at the Commanders.
Oh, because both those teams played the week before on the 20th?
Yes, exactly. They both had Saturday games, so it would have to be a team like that.
Okay, this is saying, all right, so there's more. Another tweet just coming through. After the Hail Mary last year, or Fail Mary if you're here, Commanders against Bears will get primetime treatment this year. Sources tell me Chicago at Washington on Monday Night Football.
Here we go. It makes sense. It makes sense because that was one of the big moments from last year that will resonate into this when they're playing on the same field. And this time around, given intervening developments, maybe the Hail Mary goes the Bears' way.
Maybe it doesn't come down to one play.
It came down to two plays.
I think it will come down to one play.
If there is a prayer to be said, there is a person who's got a fairly direct pipeline.
That is true. Back to the Pope.
I'm glad you're in on this, Mike.
I think, guys, you ready for this? I think it will come down to one play. You ready, everybody? You ready? Tyreek Stevenson, a pick six to win the game against Washington in week six.
That would be sexy.
Yeah.
I'm not in Hollywood. I refuse to live in this story.
The NFL script is a thing. Don't you watch the commercials?
Mike, do you have a sports conspiracy theory?
Oh, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got so many I can't keep track of them. I was into conspiracy theories before the word got ruined. Look, there's plenty of stuff in and around the NFL that I don't even know that it's a conspiracy. It's just the way they make the sausage. And people like to, and this is what drives me crazy, when you are trying to help people understand why something happened or what's really going on behind the curtain, the easiest ad hominem attack is to dismiss you as a conspiracy theorist because that now has an extremely negative connotation. But the reality is, what meets the eye and what really happens, rarely. I'll give you one. I firmly believe the NFL put the Packers up to making the proposal to get rid of the tush push, and the NFL wants it to be gone, and the NFL is going to get the 24 votes. And the fact that we've already seen that four of the Eagles games are going to be in prime spots, that makes it even more likely that next week they're going to twist enough arms to push the tush push out of the rule book, and they're going to get rid of all pushing of the ball carrier so it's not obvious they're targeting the Eagles. But if they're going to have the Eagles in multiple prime spots, they're sick of watching the tush push. Somebody, maybe all the way up to the guy whose name appears on every football, doesn't want to see the tush push. And I think what I've seen so far, the Eagles schedule convinces me that is going to be gone, and that's going to be one of the big talking points next week when they convene in Minneapolis and they get the 24 votes to get rid of all pushing.
Well, I'm glad you said it, because I am pro-tush push for life. So, Mike Florio, thanks for sharing that one with us.
And it's not going to change. That's the thing. They're still going to run a quarterback sneak. Nobody can stop. That's the hilarious part of this. They're going to take the pushing out, and the Eagles are still going to line up on third and fourth and short and run it 5 yards.
Yep.
Guess what? For now on, Mike, when we have you on, our last question will always be conspiracy theories in sports. Okay? So
it.
Just get your list ready.
They do the same thing to women, Mike. We're all crazy, according to they. So I appreciate you taking up the charge. Mike Florio with Pro Football Talk, thank you for joining us today, and enjoy your lunch.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye, Mike.
I just want to point out, I'm not part of they. I just want to point that out. I want to declare right now, I am not part of
men
they.
Men are jerks and women are crazy, right? And these are the plot lines. Whatever.
I'm not part of either group.
I've been a little crazy every once in a while. So.
It's just such an easy thing to do. Oh, don't believe that person. They're crazy.
Didn't Seal
like,
tell
well,
us? You got to be a little crazy?
Then it's done. Apparently that's it.
You got to be a little crazy sometimes.
I can
Seal
be
told
a jerk, though. I can be a bit of a Richard from time to time, especially if I know you. If I don't know you, I won't be a Richard. But if I know you, I'm definitely going to be a Richard.
We all can. That's the point. It's human nature. Nobody is one thing. That is where the fault lies.
That is why we go to confession.
Or, you know, just whatever you need to do. So that appropriately brings up our next topic. In a world where we decide some of the NFL schedule and we take it away from some teams that don't deserve it, we're going to do that next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
And then Matt LaFleur was all, I don't know him. And we're like, yeah, you do, Matt LaFleur. He was the offensive coordinator for the team you game plan against twice a year.
Yeah, I don't like that when they act like they don't know. The Mariah Carey thing was very intentional. It is a serious sign of disrespect towards one Jennifer Lopez. And I felt like Matt LaFleur was trying to be a little bit disrespectful towards Ben Johnson, who's no longer an offensive coordinator, but he's still a play caller, calling plays, and now he's got the title of head coach. I think he makes more money than Matt LaFleur, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Was not Ben Johnson a little bit disrespectful towards Matt LaFleur at one point?
No, he just stated the truth.
He was disrespectful on the scoreboard.
Yeah, like what do you? If you look at the record of one guy versus the other, Ben Johnson advantage him.
He just didn't take a look at the history of the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers at that point.
Don't worry about that.
Thomas Brown, shout out. He beat the Packers. Thomas Brown, we love you.
Okay, I want to take this opportunity to tell you that there's a show on after ours. The name of that show is Speak on Holmes, and you should probably tune in this afternoon.
It's a great show.
Starting at 2, because at that time, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs win. Why are they going to win? They're playing the Rockies at Wrigley Field on May 26th. If you don't understand, go look at the NMLB standings and tell me what the Rockies' record is. Then you'll see why they're most likely going to. Another series they should sweep, by the way.
Should.
It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
I love when we say that with such authority. So well, we just learned this is, of course, NFL schedule release day. So we get leaks here and there. And we just heard with Mike Florio during that time, J.P. Fenley of NBC Sports in Washington, D.C. is reporting that after the Hail Mary last year, Commanders and Bears will get primetime treatment this year, sources tell him. Chicago at Washington on Monday Night Football, Week 6. So already we're up to 3 nationally televised games with the Bears, if that's true.
Mm.
When you do the math, not only do you choose McGrath, but
that's where I was going with that.
We've got number one, Black Friday. That was the first one we found out about, the Amazon Prime game against the Eagles. Then we learned that reportedly Fox is going to make them part of the Week 16 doubleheader against the Packers. And now this news about Monday Night Football. It feels like the Bears are going to get more nationally televised games this year than they did in the past.
I want to go back to what Grody was talking about with Mike Florio, because it seemed
where
like
Grody wanted to hide.
He seemed like embarrassed, or I'm sorry, it seemed like a fear of embarrassment had taken over, and you were just really worried that the Bears were going to get pantsed on national television.
Very self-conscious about that kind of stuff when the Bears get pantsed. Like, honestly, the whole time, I'm like, I am sorry for what's going on, right? I'm sorry that you have to watch this. We don't like it either. So it's like a preemptive, like, I don't necessarily want the nation ripping on the Chicago Bears, because I take that personally too. But at the same time, like, we don't need to be seen yet. Like, we're not ready yet. I don't have my makeup on.
But when was the last time?
I don't want to be seen.
The last time you didn't feel like that is my question.
The game against the Commanders was a flexed game. Don't you remember how excited we were?
And the Bears should have won that game. And the Bears should have won, because Caleb Williams was really good at the end of that game, and they should have won that damn game. But then they saw how inept the Chicago Bears were. If that wasn't enough for you, oh my God, Thanksgiving Day. I'm so sorry still to the nation last year at Detroit when all of that happened. That first half was murder. I mean, it was unbelievable. I will never forget the end of that game. And after Dan Weider and I, as hosts of the Take the North podcast, had done all the work that we had to do, about 2 hours later, we meet each other in the middle of the press box, both of us shaking our heads like, this is going to be a doozy today. I hate it when the nation has to see how bad the Bears are.
Well, I mean, The thing that delineated those two games were, number one, a player just being stupid at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Dumb decisions that were made.
Yes.
Mistakes were made.
Uh-huh.
So, also, the play before it did indeed matter, by the way. That's a point counterpoint. Now, it did come down to the Hail Mary, but still, it's never one game where your team loses or wins, or one play in a game. The other one is, I don't think that lack of tactics, if you will be on display on national television again.
What's that?
I hope not.
I mean,
you heard me.
Here's my thing. I don't know what's going to happen when they actually get on the field and start playing football games, but I am more pragmatic than optimistic or pessimistic. And pragmatically speaking, the offense should be better. I have questions about the defense, and therefore I will be intrigued every time the Bears step on any stage, be it the national stage or just in a local window where you can hide unless you have red zone, and then you're out there for Scott Hansen and company to see.
I'm just laughing at 3:09. Same, Grody. Just let us rip in the noon slot.
Exactly.
I'm not clamoring for the noon spot.
No.
I am. I always am. But that's just, you know, that honestly,
from
that's a selfish thing. That's a reporter perspective, because then your day is, I mean, there's nothing better. I'll tell you guys about, and Marshall, you in particular will probably appreciate this because you love to walk around the city. Noon games, man, at Soldier Field.
Where we live.
Well, and see, and this is before. I was living over in Streeterville even.
Okay.
I'd get up early. I would walk to Soldier Field, like a beautiful, gorgeous walk along the lake. And then when the day was over and all the work was done and we recorded Take the North, I'd get up, put the earbuds in, and walk home along the lake. That's what I loved about the noon games, and it just the beauty of it all.
I never knew about the weather outside because I was watching the doubleheader. The only way to cleanse your palate after some of those noon games was with good football. Or better football, or slightly more entertaining.
That's why I like the later window, the late afternoon window, is because there's more of a buildup to what you're speaking of. Now, I go on a run on the lake, and you already see everybody out in their bear stuff heading to the stadium to tailgate, or just out and about, and it gives you more juice leading up to that. So if I'm out on that walk, even at like 9, 10 o'clock, everybody's going somewhere to just start watching games, but eventually they're going to watch the Bears, and I like the buildup. Now, the night game, that's a little bit much for me.
Too much. I hate Monday night games. See, a lot of people.
No, I love them because the Bears get exposed, and then I'm not the only one who's complaining about some of the game plans anymore.
And then every national voice is just,
running all these screen passes, and I'm like, yeah, where have you been, guys? Our life.
Layla, the national voices, when you get put on a Sunday night, Thursday night, or Monday night game, there's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide. Everyone sees it, and everybody, not just the common people who are watching the games, but every former professional football player, former coach, national analyst, they all got, I'd call it piling on, but it's just really everyone's nodding in accordance. Yeah, we've been trying to tell y'all what's going on around here.
Yeah, we've been knowing. This is the difference. Now you get to witness and experience this too. I will say this. Last December, you know, for the Lions game, you remember the one that George McCaskey was all disappointed in Bears fans in, and yet somehow Derek Stevens from Circus still had one of the suites? Yes. Dramatic pause.
I do remember that.
Yeah. I remember I was meeting a friend for breakfast, and the Celtics were in town, and it was the Celtics reporter, Abby Chin. She and I were getting coffee.
Okay.
And I remember walking around, and I'm like, man, this is a lot of Lions gear I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, something tells me this is going to be a pretty Lions-heavy crowd. Then it turned into a Lions home game.
Yeah, it did. It did. And I understood. And the Bears fans tried to ward them off as best as they could.
Not Bob Tree in there nodding his head. Yeah. That's right,
Lions
home game.
The morning
you stay
before
out of this
that
conversation,
game?
Bob Tree.
How much Honolulu blue did I see walking around the streets?
Oh, so much. Detroit has, like, there's a lot of people from Detroit in Chicago as well. And when the Lions are good, they like to come out. So
there's only one way
that.
To fix this.
Send them back to sleep.
No, it or is Detroit. To wear a ton of Bears blue and orange in Las Vegas.
Which does happen.
That's the only way to write this ship.
Oh, yeah.
How does that write the ship?
Because it's Vegas and it's fun.
I thought there was a specific meaning behind that. My thing is this,
yes,
man.
It is me telling you to go to Vegas and enjoy it.
I just want for people to be happy again. And the only thing that's going to make people happy, I'm talking about the people of this city, is for there to be a concerted effort of good football that lasts the entire season. Mm-hmm. That's going to take double-digit wins. That's going to take exciting games at the end of the season, not just the beginning of the season.
Well, I will say that the Bears have been doing big boy stuff, taking real shots at things since, ironically, last year. When, although they made the horrible mistake of hiring Shane Waldron, they got rid of Shane Waldron pretty quickly. For the first time in history, they fired a head coach in the season. So they're doing big boy stuff. Then they go and get Ben Johnson, the most sought-after coach in the NFL for the last 2 years. They go out and get him. And then they build themselves an interior of their offensive line. And then they go out and get couple of defenders. They go out and get Grady Jarrett. They go out and get Dio Odangbo. So they are doing things that feel a lot more legitimate than the things that they've done in the past. Yes,
Mark.
Layla. Yes.
Breaking news.
Oh.
Breaking news on the score is brought Breaking to you Bears. By Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We
hit him with it.
Know.
I know what it is. Hit him.
Don't
with
hurt
it.
Him, Hammer.
Our friend Jordan Schultz, who's been on our shows, the Schultz Report on X, sources. The Bears will open their season at home on ESPN's Monday Night Football against the Vikings, marking Ben Johnson's debut as head coach. We're up to four nationally televised games.
Here we go.
But
four
I'm good with the
games.
Matchup. I'm good with the matchup.
Yes.
I'm good with the team.
It's not Green Bay.
The schedule hasn't even been released yet. Let's rewind to the beginning of this segment 15 minutes ago where Mark Grody's like, man, I really hope that they just get a lot of these noon games.
I'll tell you what, too. One of the other things is, and I know the prevailing opinion here at The Score is always when the Bears don't play on Sunday, everybody's like, oh, it's so nice to have a Sunday without the Bears. No, it was not nice to have a Sunday without the Bears. I got to wait until not just Monday, but Monday night to watch a Bears game. So I hate Sundays.
Is that extra
You've
angst
been waiting
them?
All weekend for Monday night?
I'm why they wrote that song, I think. Really, it pains me to wait. Now, when the game starts, then I'm jacked up and I'm excited, and the discipline of waiting was worth it. But I really hate – I don't need to be doing other stuff. I want to watch the Bears on Sundays.
I want no discipline and more asbestos. More asbestos. More asbestos.
Bears-Vikings opening night. Okay.
Also, that cloud is getting closer.
Like
there's been this cloud that's like way too low, and it's not fog, and I know technically it might be, but it's just one cloud.
Oh, it's fog.
And we're on the ninth floor, and it just keeps creeping closer and closer toward us.
What do you think that cloud wants? What do you?
I don't know,
that,
but
what?
I feel like I'm in a movie. One of those bad ones where there's like one decent scene, and it gets replayed on Instasingle on Instagram.
By the time the cloud gets here, we'll know the entire bear schedule. How
is
about
it,
that?
Is that a cloud? Is that what that is?
It is a cloud.
That's what
and
fog
it just
is,
keeps
Mark.
Getting. But it's just this little spot of it. It's like, I'm not going away.
Fog is a cloud?
I'm just hanging out.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know that. I don't read. I don't read books. Okay. I know you like us to read books. I don't read books.
I know. I got a book I got to read.
Yeah, Bears.
All right. So more Bears Vikings. News, I'm sure, will come out.
Bears.
Who
Bears.
Said Vikings? Did somebody say Vikings?
I did. Bears, Vikings.
Why?
Bears, Vikings. Bears, Vikings. The Bears will beat the Vikings on Monday Night Football.
Robbie, if you got to walk out of here because you got a Lions collector self, I am allowing it. We now know three games of the Vikings schedule, by the way, by default.
It's okay. We still run the North.
Take the North.
All right. We got a bone to pick with Robbie during this break. Halftime is next. Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody and on the Score.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is indeed halftime. We've done a lot on the show so far. Mark Grody is in. Mark, along with me and Marshall Harris, all talked about the Cubs for an hour. Miguel Esparza, the Spanish play-by-play announcer, also joined us at 10:45. Mike Florio was on at 11. We talked a lot about breaking schedule news because it is schedule release day in the NFL, and we had some more coming through. Jordan Schultz reporting that the Bears are going to open the season on Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings.
It's halftime.
All right, I think we, I don't know that we have time for a lot, and I appreciated, Marshall, our conversation right before the show about trying to figure out, A, if there would ever be a Hard Knocks again that was centered around the draft in the offseason.
Probably not. No one wants to end up looking like the New York Giants looked in that first and only edition of Hard Knocks offseason.
Although I could argue that you could make a heck of a Hard Knocks around the Giants right now just based on the quarterback room. Mm-hmm. But that's another story for another day. But then you brought up, I was like, well, I hadn't paid a lot of attention because I don't have HBO. And then you're like, well, what are you calling it?
Yeah, so here's the thing. There's rebrands and then there's what Warner Brothers has decided to do with HBO. HBO known for just a lot of different things that are high quality. I mean, we all miss real sports, right? And Game of Thrones was a thing. Now The Last of Us is kind of taken over as like that show that people need to watch. And the upfronts are going on in New York this week. And they announced, quote, today we are bringing back HBO, the brand that represents the highest quality in media. They have decided to rename their app. Did you know what their app was called before?
No.
Max.
Okay.
It's now going to be known as HBO Max.
I never called it Max.
Do you know what it was called before it was called Max?
HBO?
HBO Max. That's probably the best part of this.
I don't understand.
So it was HBO back in the day. Then it was HBO Go. Then there was a separate HBO Go and HBO Max were two different things.
Yeah, there was HBO Go and there was Max, right? I remember that.
And it was the same thing, but it was different because one you could watch live programming on, the other you couldn't. And then there was HBO Max only, and then they simplified it to just Max, but now they realize that HBO part is probably pretty important. We're going to put this back. So it got me to thinking of what are some other terrible rebranding ideas. At the top of my list, by the way, is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm.
They rebranded to KFC, and I'm like, why did you do that? And
because it led to all these... was a bad word in the 90s.
You still eat fried foods?
I didn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But to a lot of people, they did.
But it led to all these conspiracy theories, and I don't know. We've been talking about conspiracy theories all week, that the reason they rebranded to KFC is because it was no longer chicken. So they couldn't call it chicken anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's like one of the things that's... So like... My thing is this, if you do something and you do it well, just stick to the thing that you do well and make sure that's in the title.
Well, also, we are inundated with brands. Why would you just go away from your strongest brand when that's what everybody calls it? If I have one pet peeve, it is that I think it's hilarious when executives who have no self-awareness whatsoever because they don't get outside try to tell everybody how to consume their products. Like, put search functions on your apps. Call it by what everybody else calls it. This is pretty simple. You built a good brand. I'm sorry it's not your name, but that doesn't mean you can't just lean into the obvious here.
So let's go over a couple of ones that have happened.
I have one, too.
Oh, 503 says the chicken wasn't from Kentucky.
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh. So, well, what about
KFC? What does KFC stand for?
What about the 11 herbs and spices?
Are they from Kentucky? No, but I'll let you get to yours, Grody, but I just want to let y'all know, ESPN, $29.99 a month, has released a new app. Do you know what the app is called?
Oh, no. Is it HBO Max?
It's ESPN. This is not hard, people.
There it is.
This is not hard.
There it is.
This is not hard. Meanwhile, Comcast NBC Universal has another spinoff entity named Versant. I don't even know the meaning behind it. Fox has a new one. It's called Fox One. Okay.
As if Peacock wasn't confusing enough.
Well, Peacock was okay because at least you could go back to the fact that there's a peacock in the logo.
And people know that.
Yeah, people know Peacock.
But still.
The Peacock Network.
Just, it's NBC. It's okay.
Yeah.
So,
with your strongest brand.
Oh, no. The first thing that I thought for some reason was Prince rebranding to Symbol.
Well, that was a whole issue because of his catalog of music and he couldn't get the rights to his own stuff.
Okay. I still didn't like it. I mean,
you like the symbol?
No.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Right. It was all silly. It was just silly.
I mean, I want Prince
creativity
to get his
born
money.
Out of need for solutions. Yeah. Also, that cloud is getting closer.
Poor Prince.
Oh yeah, it's all the way through those two buildings.
I've realized that the cloud is really just getting closer, so it can also hear the Bears' schedule.
That actually is fair. I mean, that's a lot of do we think there's going to be more primetime games on this 17-game schedule?
I do.
I think there will be.
Did you see the word on the street, on the Twitter street, is that the Commanders are going to be in 8 primetime games? How do you guys feel about Dan Quinn?
They deserve it.
Also, are we going to call the Cowboys and Chiefs like the Hunt Family Bowl? Like, what happens there? The Oil Bowl? There's got to be some sort of reference to those two things.
It's America's Bowl because it's America's team going up against America's person's boyfriend, maybe soon to be fiance, and Taylor Swift.
Now you don't people see that are going to say we're going to break that news.
No, we're not breaking that news. I'm not breaking
Swifties
that news.
Swifties are going to be after you.
I was like, who breaks up? Somebody asked me, who breaks up first? Is it Travis Kelce? Or Bill Belichick, who breaks up first?
I also like the idea of us creating Bears 2 schedule, where Bears 2 is 100% playing North Carolina, as in Bill Belichick.
It's a very complicated schedule. Do we have time for another story?
Yes,
we
have time.
Oh, okay.
It's got about a minute and a half. Go ahead. Okay. All right. 90 seconds.
One thing that we didn't talk about was, I don't know if you guys noticed this, in the Cubs game on Sunday, the Mets catcher, Luis Torrens, is that how you say it? Torrens?
Yeah.
He got hit in the ding-ding. He's the catcher. And he was laying down for like longer than I've ever seen a guy lay down in that scenario.
Did he not have a cup on?
Well, this is it. So, I mean, it was painful to watch. But Luis Torrens, this is from the New York Post, is considering an equipment change behind the plate following his removal from Sunday's game after taking a foul tip to the groin area. The Mets catcher was wearing a protective plastic cup, but said he may need something stronger after absorbing so many foul tips over the years. Quote, I don't know if I have to wear another cup or find a way to wear platinum or metal. And then finally he says, quote, I have taken a lot of foul tips there. So it's getting really sensitive after so many there. I can handle getting hit by a pitch, but this is different. I feel like he's like the next time we see him, he's going to have like a brick down there. He's going to be walking around with the biggest bulge around.
I,
what?
You can have like a plate, a chastity belt type plate.
Oh yeah.
That could work.
Like on the like a
how many
like
different times did I laugh the phrase foul tip, you ask? How many?
Infinity, just the tip.
Infinity times.
It was just a graze too. But we all know, men, just a graze does the trick.
Just the tip.
Little tip, yeah.
I just
in
had
the
to...
sack.
Stop!
Oh no!
What are you
the
doing?
The humanity.
No, it's so funny that like I'm staying away from using the word that starts with a P. Like,
no,
and I won't do it. But that would be the first time that word was actually used in the proper context on this radio station.
Just go to commercial. Okay. Five on it is next.
Sorry, Layla.